Create your world. Motivate. Change. Succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's time for Star Power Hour, brought to you by ForTalent.com. We'll cover what's hot in the arts and entertainment industry. Our guests will talk about projects they're currently working on and what they're about to do next. You don't want to miss today's show. Now, here is your host, James Barber.
Well, hello, hello. Welcome to the Star Power Hour. This is James Barber coming to you on the VoiceAmerica.com network, presented by ForTalent.com, your arts and entertainment social network. Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I am coming to you from gorgeous Seoul, Korea. I am here directing A Tale of Two Cities, which is incredible because, you know, I've had this vision to do it even before we opened on Broadway. I love the show so much that I think it needs future life. And, it, you know, it's, for those of you who don't know, it's been around the world already. There's already been one production here in Seoul last July that I came over with Brandy Burkhart to help with. I did a concert, a press conference with Brandy, who is my leading lady on Broadway, and just sort of fell in love with the city. And I have to tell you something. The talent pool over here, the show is being done in Korean by Korean actors. It's unbelievable. I mean, really, really, really unbelievable. Incredibly top-notch. And I mean, these voices here in the musical theater world can rival some of our greatest voices on Broadway. And I'm not kidding you. They're highly skilled, highly trained performers. And, you know, I don't know how many folks out there know, you know, the musical theater fans that are out there, even theater fans, know how big theater is around the world. I mean, musical theater, not just London, not just Australia, not just, you know, Japan, but it's massive here in Korea. I mean, massive. Right now, like this past Sunday, I went to see Les Mis. Amazing production of Les Mis, incredible singers. They're doing Wicked, they're doing 42nd Street, they're doing Frank Wildhorn's Count of Monte Cristo, they did Rebecca, it was a huge success, another huge success of Rebecca. I mean, come on, Broadway, you know, it's been a huge success around the world, let's give it a shot. What else is going on? Les Mis, Phantom, Jekyll and Hyde, I just on and on. They're doing Wicked coming up. I'm actually losing one of my actresses to go in to do Wicked when the Tale of Two Cities will begin a tour. It goes to Busan out of Seoul, and one of our actresses goes to Wicked at some point. That's the amazing thing. Here's the other cool thing about theater in Korea. It's done differently than we do it on Broadway. My show is double cast in the leads, and actually one of the characters is actually triple cast. And the idea behind that, of course, is that it's marketing, but also because there are so many shows that are running, oftentimes actors are doing double duty. One of my actors is also starring in Count of Monte Cristo, one of the Sydney Cartons. So he has to do that because he was contracted to do that, but is also doing this. It's very interesting how things are done. The Les Mis cast, for example, is just one cast. They do it sort of like we do it on Broadway, and it's just done that way with just understudies and covers and things like that. But most of the shows are double cast, because what'll happen is, you know, some of the stars in the shows are real ticket draws. So, they'll have, you know, the Korean Idol stars or their, you know, the TV and film actors who also sing doing, doing a lot of the shows, and it boosts ticket sales. And they're, I'm kidding you, they're amazingly talented people, and just so smart and so wonderful. I'm having a blast. Of course, that creates some interesting issues because, you know, when you're dealing with, one actor in one role, you just have to sit there and rehearse that one actor. But my Sydney Cartons, I have three of them. And so when I'm, in a rehearsal, I have two Lucys, I have three Sydneys, I have two Madame Defarges. But that's how it is with all the shows over here, right? It's not unique to A Tale of Two Cities, except for this Les Mis that I told you about. So when I have to go through, I'm actually having discussions with, in this case, three different male actors about Sydney Carton. And they each, of course, have their own unique ideas about what they want to do. So while at the same time it's unique, it's also kind of liberating in a way, because one actor wants to make one choice, another actor wants to make another choice, and the third actor makes a third choice. And so it's really fascinating and kind of neat in the fact that the audiences come back again and again because they want to see their favorite actors in the show, or they want to see another actor do it. Whereas, we have one actor who does it, and, maybe a standby or a cover understudy, and then one actor that leaves, a new actor comes in. This is, one actor does two or three shows, they go off and do their other show at that time, and, another actor comes in. It's really interesting to work this way. I have a great choreographer, Insuk, her name is, and she's fantastic. She choreographed the show before. Great musical directors, great music team. We're actually going to have were me. It's my show. I am it. Meaning the radio show. I'm going to do an entire expose about the musical theater scene over here. I'm going to have Chris Choi on, who is our producer over here. Chris, moved to New York when he was 18 years old. So, he knows a lot about Broadway. He spent a lot of years actually, bringing musicals or brokering musicals to come from Broadway to Korea, and then he started producing over here. So we're going to have him on. I'm going to have on some of the actors from the show, some of whom speak English, some of whom don't, but I have a great interpreter named Sun, and he's going to be with us, and we'll ask questions, and we'll get answers, and get a unique perspective, because how many people have been to Korea to see musicals? From the States, all the musical fans. A lot of people go to London to see them, what have you, but I'm not sure how many have come over here. The other cool thing about it is that there are great American, I shouldn't say American, English-speaking companies of shows. So they'll do a full tour of Phantom, and it's all English-speaking, whether it's, part New York people, part British, London people, part Australia, Philippines, even Korean actors who speak English. So it's a wonderful venue for our art of musical theater, those people that do it and like it. I would encourage you to come over. You'll know what's going on because they're all shows that we've seen. They do new shows here. There are Korean-born musicals and Korean-born plays, obviously. But the big musical scene are shows that come from Broadway, or in the case of Rebecca, Elizabeth, shows from Vienna that I've run over there. But what's cool about it is here I am watching Les Mis on Sunday, because again, we record this on Monday. Now I'm 14 hours ahead of Los Angeles. So I'm 15 hours ahead, 16 hours. Anyway, but I'm like a full day ahead, where it's, 4:30 in the morning, on Monday, it's 8:22 PM Monday, in Korea. So it's really interesting because I call home and they're just getting up and I'm just going to bed the next day. But what's cool is that I'm sitting here watching this version of Les Mis, and it's all in Korean, but I know what's going on because I know the show, right? And I know the lyrics to the show because I know the show so well. And it's really kind of cool. You can just close your eyes and hear the music sung by beautiful voices and just know what's going on. You can watch it. certainly, you know, oh, Jersey Boys is coming over here. You know, it's really kind of cool. And the, you know, the technical aspects are just brilliant. And what else I like about what happens over here is they're starting to do much longer runs. But initially, from what I understand, they'll do 6 to 8 week runs of a show, and then the show will close. And then the next season, they bring that show back. So every year, you get to see the shows you love every year for 6 to 8 weeks. And it creates a following. So shows that, you know, were done 2-3 years ago, 4 years ago, they keep coming back. So it's not like they run until they run their audience out. No, they open them, they run, they're successful, they close them, and then they reopen them. So it's really neat for actors, because as long as you can do the role and it's been done successfully, you know, okay, I'm going to be doing Tale of Two Cities next year. I'm going to be doing Phantom next year. I'm going to be doing Wicked next year. You know, and they change up a little bit, but it creates, in a way, sort of job security in a weird way, in a business where there really isn't job security. And that's what the plan is, you know, for Tale of Two Cities. It was done last July, doing it again now. It's going to tour to Busan, and then next year do it again and again and again and again and again. And it's really kind of neat. The city itself is spectacular. You know, I love food, and I don't know how many people have had Korean barbecue or kimchi. It's wonderfully delicious and diverse food, it's really fun. You know, I don't speak Korean at all. I mean, a few words here and there, but going out with the Korean cast or the creative team, the producers, you know, who obviously are fluent in Korean, and some in English, you know, you just sort of let go, and I just say, okay, let's see what we got, you know. And I've had some amazing food while I'm over here, and made some amazing friends. So, you know, when we come back after our break, I want to talk a little bit more about, you know, what the plan is with the Tale of Two Cities, what we're doing, how we're changing it a little bit, and you know, what we're going to talk about for the rest of the hour. It's going to be a lot of fun, I hope. Maybe play a little music. I don't know. We'll see what's going to happen. And by the way, people, don't eat any donuts. I'm still on this kick, okay? Do not eat any donuts. I've already lost weight being here in Korea because I'm on that program, but I'm also eating based on the 1,250 calorie regimen that is suggested in that Slenderize program that I have on BroadwayFit.com. So guys, check it out. This is James Barber on the Star Power Hour. Remember, Twitter, The James Barber on Twitter, at The James Barber. Go to www.jamesbarber.com and sign up for my newsletters, too. You'll get them rolled out. You'll get all kinds of new stuff. You'll get updates. We're bringing a brand new website, jamesbarber.com website, to the net. So stay tuned with us on the Star Power Hour. We will be right back.
Change your world. Change your life. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Everybody has a dream. For some, that dream is to become an actor, comedian, or dancer. Others dream of signing a recording contract, being on Broadway, or directing their own film. Now those dreams can come true, because on 4talent.com, we turn the spotlight on talent. On 4talent.com, everyone can participate in online contests and festivals. Log on and get into exclusive interviews with industry experts, create personal scrapbooks and photo albums, plus communicate with other members who share your passions. So what are you waiting for? Whether you're an artist or a fan, sign up today. Membership is free. Join today, and you just might be one of the people who get to say,
I got my break on 4talent.com, and you can too.
Do you ever feel stuck on a hamster wheel? Constantly running but getting nowhere? Ready to try something different? The secret is actually quite simple. When you fall in love with yourself, everything else falls into place, personally and professionally. Each week, you can find out how to choose your energy and change your life with your host, Deborah Jane Wells. It's time to get unstuck, reclaim your personal power, and recapture your zest for living. Tune in to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life, Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Friend us on Facebook to keep up with what's empowering the world. Voice America Empowerment.
You are tuned in to Star Power Hour, brought to you by 4talent.com. Your host is James Barber. If you'd like more information about 4talent.com and what we do, just log on to our website at 4talent.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Hope you had a good little break there. By the way, folks, I mentioned this a little while ago. We're closing up our sponsorship pretty soon for the Star Power Hour. So if you ever want to sponsor the Star Power Hour, get a little commercial in, email us at starpowerhour@gmail.com. We got a lot of response last time when I mentioned that, and we're just putting a whole line of people together so that in the future when spots open up, we can reach out to you to fill them up because, well, you know, I don't know if you guys know, but voiceamerica.com has a listenership of 5 million, you know, on an ongoing basis, and, you know, it's an international, the largest international talk radio on the planet. From everything that I see, and we are launching, and it has been launched, voiceamerica.tv, and you can go to the 4talent.com channel there. We're going to be in the final edit, or we are in the final edit of Miranda Singh's event from Birdland, live from Birdland. It's Colleen Ballinger that Jim Caruso presented at Birdland, and that will be up on voiceamerica.tv as a pay-per-view event. Really, really soon. We're in the final edits of that, and the amazing Jim Caruso is you know, checking everything and crossing all the T's and dotting the I's. And that's going to be an ongoing thing from Birdland. We're going to have a blast there, presenting a lot of different projects. We're going to have web series. You know, we're going to have full-length features. We're going to have comedy. We're going to have drama. We're going to have concerts. We're going to do some clips from all the Tale of Two Cities stuff that I'm working in, working with over here in South Korea. We're gonna put some up on VoiceAmerica.tv on the 4talent.com channel. So, you know, for you entrepreneurs out there, you know what somebody once said to me, an entrepreneur is somebody who motivates themselves, right? It's not, you think, oh, an entrepreneur, they are the ones that create their own businesses. Well, you know what it is they're the ones that get up and motivate themselves. They don't go to work knowing that they're going to have, you know, minimum wage every hour and that's it. No, they have a vision and they go and they push themselves. Which is, I don't know, I like it. And it's not pushing yourself, you know, to death. You're creating, right? You're out there creating something that is yours, and hopefully that'll change the world to make it a better place. Anyway, I don't know why I got off on that tangent. Probably because I work nonstop. What I was going to say is Bom Korea, BOMKorea.com is the website for Broadway's Overseas Management. I believe that's the name of what Bom Korea means, but you can see it's in Korean, but you can see the, you know, some of the logos and there's, other friends, I'm reading a thing that says friends, other shows that Bom Korea is doing. You know, it has a 2013 schedule. There's a thing on there, Tale of Two Cities, click details and it brings up, some stuff, but, unless you speak Korean, or read Korean, you're not going to know it. However, you can do the little, copy it and go to Google Translate and read what it says. It won't translate it perfectly, but you'll get an understanding of it. So my cast, let's see. We had a good day today. You know, I have amazing performers. Two of my Sydney Cartons do it before. I think I have two Sydney Cartons that have done the show before, two Lucys that have done the show before. One of the Darnays has done it before, and one of the Manettes has done it before, and one of the Madame Defarges has done it before. So some of the cast haven't done it before, and some have. So that's also an interesting dynamic under which to present a show or direct a show, because in many ways, you know, there are positive aspects to it. Because, you know, I'm looking at, you know, actors who know the show really well, and I can talk to them about in-depth choices that they're making or want to make in trying to make the show, you know, even stronger. And it also gives insight to the new characters, because they're going to be able to watch with ease the people that are that are creating this already, and by doing so, you know, they're going to have sort of a leg up, right? Sorry, I got a little distracted on my own radio show. I'm getting all these emails coming in. They're going to have a leg up. They're going to have a leg up, meaning they're going to be able to watch the actors that know it already, and therefore, you know, it's like here's something. I think I mentioned this before. You know, it's the idea. Maybe I mentioned it with Chad Kimball. You know, the idea of doing a revival. If you're creating a role in a revival, you're not really creating a role. You're doing it again. You're reviving it, right? So you have a mark by which to try to copy. And make no mistake about it, you know, everybody knows Oklahoma. You know, when you're going to go and listen to Oklahoma, you're going to go out, you know, at least this is what I did. When I was doing shows when I was first starting out and I didn't know them, I would go listen to the cast recording and I'd learn the music, right? So, you know, Camelot, you have Robert Goulet from the original, right? Assassins, you had Terry Mann and Eddie Corbett and all those great guys in the original Assassins, right? It goes on like that. Sunny in the Park with George, you're going to listen to Mandy, right? Now, when another revival comes out and another cast album goes out, you can go and listen to that. But what I'm trying to say is you're not creating it from scratch, right? There's a benchmark that you can go and listen to. Someone has already done it. So in many ways, it gives you an advantage because you can start learning the music before you get there. You know, you can start practicing before you get there. And certainly the case with The Tale of Two Cities in the sense that it was recorded, but for these Korean actors, it was recorded in English, not in Korean. So they may have an understanding of what the music sounds like, but the Korean translation is different. Some words do not translate fully into Korean from English and vice versa. So they have to make it their own. You know, and I'm finding that out, which is interesting. And it also doesn't necessarily fit the scansion of the music. You know, a word that we might have in English fits the scansion, but it doesn't fit in Korean. So there are obstacles with that. But like I said, you know, the actors that have done it before have made choices. They ran the show. It was successful. So the actors that are coming in, the new actors, can actually watch them in rehearsal. So I'll actually have, when we're running a scene, I'll have the actors who have done it before. If there's an actor that hasn't, I'll have the actors who have done it before do the scene first. Just because, you know, we have limited time. And, for some of these things, I may go the other way, you know, we haven't done a read through yet. So that's also part of it. We're making sure the translation is complete because we're doing a little bit of changing in the beginning. Jill Santoriello has actually added a song, for Charles Darnay. And what we're doing with the beginning is, you know, there was a song called Shadows of the Night, which Jill wrote, which I absolutely love. It's on the concept album with, her brother, Alex Santoriello doing, Sydney. The shadows of the night are quickly closing in. It's Mr. Laurie starting the show. So we've added a little bit of that back in, and they're going to transition into Paris with that song. It's kind of cool. I hopefully it'll work and create a really cool opening. And that's what I love. You know, it's like when Frank Wildhorn has shows that are all over Europe and Asia, and you know they're very, very successful over here. And I think part of the reason is that Frank understands that, you know, the audiences in Korea are not the same as the audiences in the United States. And the audiences in Vienna are not the same as the audiences in Korea. So he gives a wide breadth to directors and creatives in these other countries to present his shows because, you know, he said, look, you know, what works in New York won't necessarily work in Europe. So there are changes that can be made. You know, I mean, it stays within a confine, but he allows some breathing room. And Jill is doing that for us here for the Korean production, which is great. And I'm having a blast with it. And the actors are really digging it. We have some wonderful, wonderful performers. Let's see, the Madame Defarge, she's the one that I saw last year. She's back. I saw some of the rehearsals last year. And I talked about it at the time, but she's back. And she was actually Mrs. Danvers in Rebecca. So ironic that I'm working with her again. Very, very powerful actress. Great voice. All my Sydney Cartons, wonderful voices and great insight as actors. And the Lucys, one of my Lucys was you know, spent a lot of time in Japan doing Christine and doing a lot of the leads over there. She's in the show. And one of my darnays is a rock pop star here in Korea, like the kind of guy that walks down the street and people just, you know, his name is Kai. And it's really cool. Very diverse and incredibly great people. And did I mention the food? Did I happen to mention the food? I got to tell you, Korean barbecue, kimchi. I'm loving it. Had some great kimchi yesterday. Yesterday was Children's Day in Korea, where it's a celebration of all the children. So, you know, we were out to eat. I was with the producer. And, you know, and my kids are, you know, home in Los Angeles. I miss them desperately. I'm going to be here for almost 2 months working. You know, thank goodness for FaceTime and iChat, because I can talk to them every day. And I can't imagine when, you know, my wife's father was a 3-star Marine general and was, you know, gone for years at a time in the military, and all they had were cassette tapes they would send back and forth. And I think it's hard, and I can look at my daughters, you know, via Skype or via FaceTime. But anyway, yesterday was Children's Day, so we went out and had some dinner, and it was packed. We're like, why is it so packed? And we realized it was Children's Day, and all these kids are running all over the place, and it made me melancholy to miss my kids. And that's the other thing I realized, you know, kids are kids no matter where you go. I mean, I'm looking at this little boy. He had, you know, flip-flops on, bouncing up and down on this ramp, just making noise. He just was doing it because it was fun to make the noise. And it just reminded me of home a lot. And, you know, I want to talk a little bit about North Korea, South Korea as we go on. But, you know, the reason I say that is because, look, folks, I say this all the time. We're all the same. We're all in the same boat. We're all on this orb spinning around in this whatever it is universe, right? So we got to get along. And when you look at, you know, a child's face and you realize that, you know, it's universal, you know, my kid could have been raised here, you know. What is that? Is it the luck of the draw? Is it fate? Whatever it is, how we end up, you know, being born in, you know, did we choose it? Did we choose our parents? You know, how does that work? You know, is it spiritual? Is it physical? Anyway, we'll check that when we come right back. This is James Barber on the Star Power Hour. We'll be right back.
Live up to your fullest potential. This is the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Everybody has a dream. For some, that dream is to become an actor, comedian, or dancer. Others dream of signing a recording contract, being on Broadway, or directing their own film. Now those dreams can come true, because on 4Talent.com, we turn the spotlight on talent. On 4Talent.com, everyone can participate in online contests and festivals. Log on and get into exclusive interviews with industry experts, create personal scrapbooks and photo albums, plus communicate with other members who share your passions. So what are you waiting for? Whether you're an artist or a fan, sign up today. Membership is free. Join today, and you just might be one of the people who get to say,
I got my break on 4Talent.com, and you can too.
Can you think of anybody who does not want a better life and to be a better person? Think about that for a second. Almost everyone wants to be better, but how does one go about doing that? One thing that is making people better every week is tuning in to the Self-Improvement Show with Dr. Irene Conlon. All real change comes from within, but many of us don't know where to find the information or guidance we need to make the changes that bring about the improvement. Most of us don't know how to work within. Listen Thursdays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Empowerment.
Find out what makes the most successful people tick. Keep listening to the Voice America Empowerment Channel. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
You are tuned in to Star Power Hour, brought to you by 4Talent.com. Your host is James Barber. If you'd like more information about 4Talent.com and what we do, just log on to our website at 4Talent.com. Now, back to the show.
Hey, welcome back. This is James Barber on the Star Power Hour, brought to you on VoiceAmerica.com, presented by 4Talent.com, your arts and entertainment social network. So we were talking about me and you guys, we were talking about, did we choose where we were born? You know what I mean? I don't know what your spiritual beliefs are, whatever it is, but how do we end up in the belly of whatever our moms was? You know, is it just genetics, or did some spiritually do we go, you know what, I want to be here? And the reason I was saying that is because, you know, I look around and I see, you know, these kids running around Korea, you know, people, every place I've been around the world, and we're the same. You know, no matter where we are, we're the same. We're born, you know, we're here, we're presented on the earth. Our circumstances may be different. You know, some people born into extreme poverty, hardships. Some people born into, you know, they got a silver spoon in their mouth, you know. Some people born North Korea, some people born South Korea. And it's always a wonder to me how that works, you know. I'm trying to figure that out. Maybe that's the question that everybody always asks, you know, the meaning of life. How did it happen? Was there a big bang or did we evolve? I mean, you know, those are the questions that I don't know anybody has the answer to yet, you know. I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen them. You know, but, you know, and I mentioned this before, for those of you who don't know, I was actually going to go to a Buddhist monastery. I was going to become a monk. I was. Shaved head, ochre robes, going to Thailand and living in a monastery. I was on a very spiritual path, and that's a conversation for another time. But as it is, I ended up here where I am, and I'm grateful to have my wife and my kids, and It's a wonderful journey, no matter what you take. But as I sit here, you know, I was coming over, making plans. I knew that I was coming over to South Korea for months and months. And of course, you know, the recent has been going on for months, you know, about the stuff between North Korea and South Korea. And everybody would ask me, you know, are you safe? Do you feel safe? Are you going over? Are you seriously going over? I'm like, yeah, I'm going over, you know. And, you know, it's an interesting thing here. There's no mention of it. Nobody cares. It's nothing. There's you know, no talk about it. Nobody talks about it. It's literally like it's an afterthought. It's like, well, oh yeah, whatever. Somebody said, you want to go take, you know, because you can take trips up to the DMZ, the demilitarized zone. You want to go up and see it? I'm like, they're still doing it. I'm like, yeah, you're going up. You can actually take tourist trips, bus trips up to the DMZ, and. You know, as I'm doing Tale of Two Cities, I mentioned this to the producer. I said, you know, it's interesting because Tale of Two Cities, France and England, and it's like, you know, a guy from France falls in love with this chick from England. You know, Charles Darnay falls in love with Lucy Manette. And, you know, the war goes on. And you know, I look at A Tale of Two Cities as a love story. I think it's probably one of the greatest love stories ever told. Why? Because a man gives up his life for the woman that he loves, you know, so that she can be with another man. I mean, how many people do that? You know what I'm talking about? It's an incredible love story. It just so happens that it's set against this incredible war, this revolution, you know. But, you know, I don't think the revolution is the forefront at all. It's the love story. You could set this story in a World War II. You could set this story in a severe storm, like a hurricane. You know, it's like, you know, it's the age old story of love and loss and redemption. And so here we have North Korea and South Korea, and the tension, you know, the perceived tension between North Korea and South Korea. You know, I mean, it is real. You know, I think, you know, he's up there doing what he's doing, you know, with his toys. But you know, the idea of creating this show, A Tale of Two Cities, in the midst of that is unique, I think, in its what do I want to say? It provides a backdrop. It's a parallel to life. It's mimicking life in many ways. Not that we have, you know, a North Korean girl or a North Korean boy falling in love with a South Korean girl, although that would be a pretty cool story. You know, how do you deal with that and deal with the fact that, you know, crossing the border is difficult at best, and unless you were working in the plant that was up there that South Korea sponsored. You know, it does bring to mind that this story of Tale of Two Cities is sort of universal and timeless in many ways. And that, I think, also is what makes all theater and all stories like this. I mean, Dickens is, you know, one of our foremost greatest novelist that's ever walked, in depth, deep stories. You know, obviously sometimes hard to read. I know people that haven't gotten through A Tale of Two Cities because it's dense and thick. But you know what? Watch a movie, and that's why I created my CD, the Bring Me Giant CD, because I, you know, I all they're all literary characters that have been set to music. And so often in schools, you know, we shrug it off, or we don't read the novels, or we read the cliff notes of plays, or we go and watch the movies. Well, you know what? Okay, go watch the movie. Because guess what? At least now you're getting introduced to one of these great writers that you may not have picked up because the book was too thick. And, you know, one of the main things, too, is that, you know, I think current day, you know, we're dumbing down a lot of our literature and academia, because, you know, if you look at how academics are presented in the United States, we're low on the totem pole. You know, we by no means are, you know, the top of academia around the world. We're just not. And I think that there is a lot of things go into that. And my mother was an educator. I think, you know, it's a little bit of laziness. And I think that there's a lack of some study habits, you know, and one of those study habits, which I think is primary, is understanding what you're reading. You know, so many times when I was a kid, you know, I'd read a book and I'd get to the end of the page and I'd totally forget what the heck I just read. And I'm like, what the heck did I just read? I forgot it. It was only a page and I forgot what I just read. Or, you know, I read a book and I'm wide awake, totally wide awake, but I'm reading a book and I'm starting to get tired. I'm like, what is that? And I just, everybody used to say, well, you know, you want to go to bed? Just pick up a book and read it. You'll fall asleep. Well, that shouldn't be a way to knock yourself out. But what I realized was that the reason I couldn't remember what I was reading is because I didn't understand it. And, you know, I get to the end of the page, I'm like, what the heck did I read? So I went back and I found that there were words in that page that I didn't fully understand. Somebody told me this thing. It's like, if you read this passage, and the kids ran out to play until the crepuscule came, and then they ran back inside. And, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to get that out of context. Of, you know, some monster came and scared them, or, you know, whatever it is. But you read through, and, you know, you get to the end of the passage, and you have no idea what it means. You just guessed. Well, guess what it means? Some of you probably know. It means twilight. Twilight. Guess what? It got dark. Oh, wow. Now I understand, right? It wasn't some big, dark monster. It wasn't some storm. It wasn't some guy's pustule that burst and scared people, a la Kathy Fitzgerald in my YouTube video with What is Donnybrook, which you've got to go and see. Not Donnybrook. Donnybrook closed, but I mean my YouTube videos. Go to the YouTube videos and look at them. They're pretty funny. But you see, now that you understand what the word is, you understand what the sentence is, and you understand what the page means, and you understand the story. But imagine a kid, and maybe happened to you, it happened to me, sitting in his classroom, and the teacher's teaching, and says a word that he or she doesn't understand, but just keeps going. They keep going, and doesn't want to raise his hand to say, you know, what is that? Why? Peer pressure, whatever it is. I don't understand what that word is. Oh, you don't understand what that word is? And they start making fun of him or whatever, for whatever reason. Or maybe they just don't know. Maybe they're just not taught to just, you know, try to get out of context. I was always told that. Well, figure a word out of context. No, look it up. Pick up a dictionary and look it up. Because only then will you understand what you're reading, right? So with my kid, you know, my oldest daughter, you know, we read all the time. And there's a Dr. Seuss book, for example. It's called The Sleep Book. And there's a word in there. It's blunder, B-L-U-N-D-E-R. And we always make sure that she understands what she's reading. And if the words are very large, then I'll take a synonym that is more easily understood. But we define blunder. Do you know what blunder means? Yes. Okay, what does it mean? Pause. I don't know. Okay, so guess what? We pull out a book and we define it. And now every time we get to it and I read that, I'll say blunder, and she'll go, mistake, error. I'm like, great. She understands it, right? And so I think going back to the original reason why I brought this up is because, you know, you look at Charles Dickens, it's dense, right? So if you can't get through the novel, what is it? Is there something missing? Is there a word you don't understand? You know, go back and define the words, because certainly words that he may have used then are not commonly used today, you know? They're not commonly used, you know? Or if they are used, you know, the meaning may have changed, you know? It may have a different meaning. There may be three or four different meanings for one word. You know, the word if, the word the, you know, the word is, you know, they all have, you know, tangent meanings. But I'm saying some of the words that Dickens may have used may be archaic today, and we're just getting them out of context. So I encourage you if you haven't read it, to go read it. But sit with a dictionary next to you. Define the words, you know, find out, you know, its origin, find out all those cool things. So it's also happening in Korean here for me, right? And we go back and forth because I don't understand some of the words that they're using at all, obviously, because they're in Korean, and they don't necessarily understand the meanings of the words that I'm saying because they're in English. So we're making sure that if I say something to them and my interpreter says something to them, that it means what it means. One of the lines that has been adjudicated, looked at, was a Carton line that says, "I care for no man on earth, and no man on earth cares for me." Right? But it got interpreted for, "I don't care for anybody, and nobody takes care of me. I don't take care of someone, and nobody takes care of me." Right? It's a very different meaning, taking care of somebody, or "I don't care about them." Right? So we had to fix that. And it's really interesting how words can be interpreted and defined. So when we come back, guys, we're going to talk our last segment about what we're going to do in the future for next week's episode. And a little bit more fun stuff, and you know, pull out your dictionary and don't eat a donut. I'm not going to let you up on this. Do not eat a donut. I'm really starting on this. All right, we'll be right back with the last segment of Star Power Hour. This is James Barber on VoiceAmerica.com, the Empowerment Channel, brought to you by 4Talent.com, your arts and entertainment social network. Be right back.
Success starts here. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. It's your world.
Everybody has a dream. For some, that dream is to become an actor, comedian, or dancer. Others dream of signing a recording contract, being on Broadway, or directing their own film. Now those dreams can come true, because on 4Talent.com, we turn the spotlight on talent. On 4Talent.com, everyone can participate in online contests and festivals. Log on and get into exclusive interviews with industry experts, create personal scrapbooks and photo albums, plus communicate with other members who share your passions. So what are you waiting for? Whether you're an artist or a fan, sign up today. Membership is free. Join today, and you just might be one of the people who get to say,
"I got my break on 4Talent.com," and you can too.
When you think of inspiring women, who comes to mind? Is it a visionary like Oprah Winfrey? Political or legal figures like Hillary Clinton or Sonia Sotomayor? Or how about entrepreneurial business leaders like Meg Whitman? No matter whom you might be thinking of, make sure to add one more to that list. Deanne DeMarco. She's the host of Today's Inspiring Women. Each week, Deanne turns you on to the next rising star in business and leadership, and what their successes and challenges have been. Listen every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Voice America Empowerment.
Follow us on Twitter for more great ideas at Voice America Empowerment.
You are tuned in to Star Power Hour, brought to you by 4Talent.com. Your host is James Barber. If you'd like more information about 4Talent.com and what we do, just log on to our website at 4Talent.com. Now, back to the show.
I'm going to play a game because I'm so still jet lagged from my arrival in Korea, which is count how many times I say, you know, in a segment, and the winner gets some prize. I must have said it 750 million times in that last segment. And it happens when I get really tired and I'm trying to keep the flow of the show going because my mind works so quickly. My mind. It's my mind. I'm going insane. So take a look at that, what I just said to you guys, and see if it applies to what you're doing in terms of your reading or in terms of life. You know, there's another one. I just said it, you know, because it really applied to mine. It really helped clarify things. You know, there's another one. I looked at what I was doing in terms of my learning, and I broke it down in looking at defining words, looking at how I'm learning, looking at what I'm using to learn. Made a difference. Helped. And it helps in my acting. It helps in my work because I can, without unabashedly, just go, "Hey, yeah, guys, you got to stop for a second because I don't know what you mean." The cast was talking about MRs, MRs, MRs. in a production meeting. I'm like, what are MRs? They're like, oh, they're recordings, musical recordings. Oh, didn't use that term. I use tracks, background tracks. So I'm sitting there for the first, 3 minutes of this meeting with this terminology going back and forth. And I finally was like, stop, what is an MR? You know, I know what MREs are. Meals ready to eat, military. I don't know what MRs are. And different terminology here in Korea, used for, for production. So a lot of it's the same, but some of it is different. So try that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to reach out to the different cast members, maybe have, there's another one. Am I being obnoxious by counting my own you-knows? Who's going to win? I'm going to win because I'm counting them. I'm going to reach out to the cast members. I might have both Lucy's come on, a couple of the Darnays come on at the same time, or maybe I'll just pick one at a time. I don't know, but it's going to be fun. We're also going to be filming, as I said. We're going to be doing a lot of filming. We're going to be doing some video. Most of it will be in Korean, but my segments will be in English. But again, we have an international audience on Voice America, so it's open to a wide, wide audience. And you'll still get a sense of what the music is. Maybe I can have somebody do some subtitles underneath some of the video so you guys can see it. Really, really wonderful, really exciting. We're doing what's called a book reading late in May. And what that is instead of a press event where it's a meet and greet with the press, we're actually inviting people to come into a small theater space. We're going to have a couple of Dickens scholars. We're going to have myself, the producer, a big educator on the world of musical theater here, plus some of our cast, and we're going to be doing a presentation of some of the songs from the show, which is a way not only to, show the press what we're doing, but we're also showing them our new cast members. We're going to have readings from the novels. Then we're going to go into a song. We're going to have some video clips and some stills from, the last production from last season here in Korea. And it's kind of fun and kind of unique because then there can be an interaction. The audience and the press get a sense of the music. That's where we're going to use the MRs or live music. We're not quite sure yet. We're looking at the space in terms of bringing a band in. Very different tier, too. The union restrictions are not the same as they are in New York and Broadway, Actors Equity Association, Screen Actors Guild, all that kind of stuff. There are guidelines, there's another one. We don't 10 to 6, 5-minute, 10-minute breaks, but there's also the ability to flip in and out of shows, as you will, like I said in the beginning. I have an actor who is doing Monte Cristo. There's another one. Count of Monte Cristo. I'm really annoying myself. I'm annoying myself now by doing that. By counting my own you-knows. I'm self-conscious now. Folks? So one of my actors going back and forth, Monte Cristo and Tale of Two Cities. So, that wouldn't happen on Broadway. There are folks that do two shows. I know of people that have done two shows, two plays. They're in the first act of one. They go and scoot over and do the second act of another, such as that. But this guy's a lead in one and a lead in another. It wouldn't really happen on Broadway. But that's the other thing. There are so many shows over here. And not a huge pool of actors, incredibly talented actors, but there are so many shows going on that they actually have to split time because they need actors to fill these shows. Jeez, if you guys are musical theater people and you speak Korean, come on over. I'm sure they'd welcome you with open arms. Open arms, you got to get a visa, but or maybe you know somebody or marry a Korean. You never know. Get dual citizenship. But it's pretty spectacular over here to do massive amounts of musicals. I'm excited to be here. It really shows the strength of the art form across the world. It's exploding here and has been for a while at such a high level. Really exciting to see because, I get so, what do I want to say? I don't want to say jaded or tired. We look at Broadway from the inside oftentimes, and we're like, oh, this show's closing, or this becomes very catty, people feeding on the frenzy of a show closing and in some ways taking pleasure in it, which I never understand. I never understand that. The very people that are writing about the closures and seeming to revel in the closures of the theater wouldn't have a job if there was no theater. But that's just my opinion, and it's going to be that way. It will continue to be that way, I fear, And the end of the day, doesn't really matter. You know, we get out, we do our jobs, and we try to change lives with what we do. And it may not be high art, it may not be Picasso, but I know some people look at Picasso and go, what the hell is that? That's scribble. And I look at it, and I look at his early work, and I go, that's genius. That's breaking boundaries. So when we create theater, we're creating some form of art, and whether that's considered high art or not high art, we're still moving people. We're still trying to affect people, to create a change in the world, to create a positive change in the world, to have people go out of the theater feeling better, thinking differently, hopefully enjoying the evening. And yeah, is it commercial? Absolutely. People have to make a living in this world, and this is one means to do it. I don't look at this as a burden for me. This is my job, but it's also a craft. There's a great book, I mentioned it before, it's called The War of Art, not The Art of War, The War of Art. It's got a silver cover, and Peter Scolari gave it to me. Peter, if you ever listen to this, thanks, my friend, who's in Lucky Guy right now with Tom Hanks. We were doing The Foreigner up at Berkshire Theater Festival, directed by Scott Schwartz, and he gave me that book. And it was really fascinating to look at art as a profession rather than a hobby, because so many people do it as a hobby, but this is my profession. This is my craft. This is our craft, the people that are doing it and the people that want to do it. It just so happens that I really enjoy it, and I really enjoy bringing joy to people with my singing or, you know, directing or my acting. And so it's just really cool. And I'm glad to see that it's expanding across the world, and especially here in Korea, where it's booming. So with that, folks, I'm going to leave you for today. I want to thank you for tuning in. I really, really do. Don't forget, at the James Barber on Twitter, www.jamesbarber.com. Go sign up for those newsletters, and you'll get some cool updates. Facebook fan page is there. And next week, we're probably going to have Chris Choi on, the producer of Tale of Two Cities here in Korea. We're going to talk about all things Korea in terms of how he gets things done, why he chose to produce here rather than staying in New York. And we're going to get the cast going on, too. So thank you guys for tuning in. This is James Barber on the Star Power Hour on the VoiceAmerica.com Empowerment Channel, brought to you by 4Talent.com, your arts and entertainment social network. Take care, log on, tune in, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks again for tuning in this week. James Barber will be back next Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time for another edition of Star Power Hour, brought to you by 4Talent.com, the arts and entertainment social network on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Now go check out our site, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.